This morning, I'd like to invite you to the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 11. Titus, chapter 2, verse 11. Titus, chapter 2, verse 11 reads this way. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Once again, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together in your house as your people. And Lord, knowing that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so we thank you for your presence this morning. We do ask for the blessing of your guidance and the filling of your Holy Spirit as a righteous and heavenly Father desires to give good gifts unto his children, that you might guide us into your truths, that we would hear from you, Lord, that you would be highly exalted and lifted up and our lives drawn closer to you and strengthened for your honor and glory. Bless your word, bless your people, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is "What the Grace of God That Brings Salvation Has Brought to Believers." What the grace of God that brings salvation has brought to believers. And it's more, and I'm not making light of this, than just eternal life. In other words, a home in heaven. But it's also God's life, God's eternal life on this side of eternity. And that means it's God's gift, God's work in our lives, not our work for God. And yet that's a little bit kind of confusing because we are involved and we need to submit and yield, but the Lord does a work that we cannot do for ourselves. And that takes a load off of our plate, if you will, right? God's not wanting you to do this on your own. He has blessed us with the filling of the Holy Spirit to empower us for his honor and glory. And that is a personal revelation. Just like if you're saved this morning, could you say amen? Amen. Does that mean that you have eternal life by the grace of God no matter what? Amen. Absolutely, it does. How do you know that? Now, we can't really answer that. We can answer in this. I know because God has revealed it to my soul, right? When he quickened me and he gave me his forgiveness, I can go back. Maybe I don't remember the day or the time, but I can go back to a time in my life where I had a personal encounter with the Lord and he redeemed me and gave me eternal life. And so you can't take that away from me because nobody gave it to me but the Lord. And that's important to understand. And I'll never forget that. But now God wants to bring us into that eternal life. And that is another revelation that we can't give ourselves, that God wants to reveal to us as we seek him and trust him and believe him at his word. Let me ask you a question. Is the word of God the truth? Amen. Do you believe the Bible? Amen. How much of it? Do you believe all of it? And even when it doesn't make sense sometimes, Lord, I can trust it and I need you to give me the understanding and guide me into these truths. So this morning, we want to take a look at a certain teaching and a specific objective. Now, I do want to just clarify something here. There's subjective views and objective views that God wants you and I to adhere to and hold on to. And a subjective view is one that has personal viewpoints, maybe even experiences or perspectives, but they're personal and they're not always factual. And now here's the thing. You have a lot of these people, and there's a lot of different YouTube channels out there that are into this near-death experience. And these people are coming back that were atheists, they live wicked styles, and they're saying, oh no, there's an eternity out there, and we're all part of, they all come to this idea of this cosmic God. Listen, if it's not the Lord Jesus Christ, they've got the wrong one. Amen? And I want you to know that Satan is the master of deception. These people have, beautiful stories. They'll warm your hearts. I looked at the comments of people, listen, I just lost somebody. And boy, oh boy, nobody goes to hell. Everybody goes to heaven is what they're proclaiming. Doesn't matter what you've done, that means Jesus is a liar. And we know that's not the truth, but there is the father of lies that is trying to twist and pervert the truth. And so we need to be careful about these subjective feelings that people come up with and experiences. I believe they're real experiences, but I believe they've come from the father of lies. All right. So here's another one. This one lady was saying,
Oh, I was being led to the light. Oh, this light. And there's going to be a light, amen, in eternity. It's going to be the Son of God. It's not just going to be the cosmos and everybody that makes up the light. But there was these three little frog-like looking men, they said, reptiles, that were smiling and guiding them. And then they came to the one that they said was God. This is what they said now. And they said, you know, that could be Buddha, Allah, whoever. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. So we need to be careful on what we're believing out there. And she was in the middle between going there and coming back. She says, what is your will? You know what God told her, this God that she was confronting? Oh, it's not what I will, it's what you will. Doesn't that sound familiar? Back in the garden, do as what you... Listen, the satanic Bible says, here's their law, do what thou wilt. That's not God's teaching. So are these people having experiences? I believe they are. But listen, they've rejected the Lord, and now God, this so-called God, is coming to them to reject the truth and to believe this lie. And we know that the devil is the father of lies, and he's trying to subvert, pervert, and twist the truth so that people will die without eternal life and be condemned forever, because all mankind is made in the image of God. Amen? And God loved the whole world, and he gave his Son that we might believe him, the truth, and have eternal life. There's no other way. There's no other way. So when you're circumventing and you're sidestepping the truth, mark it down. There's only two powers. There's light and there's darkness. There's the truth and there's the lie. That's it. That's what the truth teaches. That's what the Bible teaches. And I'm telling you, there are people, and it's going to become even stronger, that are going to be so sincere, so genuine, and so kind about it. But that's what the devil does to fool people to believing his lie. Oh, but listen, they were so believable. Yeah, so is a good salesman when they're trying to sell you something that you don't want. Amen? You buy something, and all they were concerned about, were they really concerned about? Now, some salesmen may be, okay? Not all salesmen are like that, but some salespeople that are looking for the commission, they don't care what you need or what you don't need. They're in the business of making money at our expense, amen? And that's what they're all, and listen, Satan isn't looking to help anybody but himself and to overthrow the will of God. And the only one he's looking to help out, and he's not even doing a good job and won't be doing a good job of that, is himself. And we don't want to get caught up in that. But let's consider this. A subjective idea or feeling or teaching is based on personal viewpoints, experiences, or perspectives. An objective understanding is based on factual data, not influenced by personal beliefs or biases. All right? I don't have a bias toward anything. Listen, the child of God needs to be careful that we don't have some kind of a preference that's being propagated, and then all of a sudden we're holding strong and we're committed to these biases that somebody came up with that are not even in the Bible. If you do this, you're right. If you don't do this, or if you do that, you're wrong. What does the Word of God say? There's a lot of people that say, oh, listen, if you wear your clothes a certain way, or if you do certain things, and you'll not find that in the Word of God, they're throwing chains on top of you. And listen, people with good intentions could adhere to those things. I've done that. Thinking, because I love the Lord, I'll do whatever he says. And somebody might say, well, listen, if you want to be right with the Lord, do these things. Well, who doesn't want to be right with the Lord that has been saved and loves the Lord? But the question is, what is God's word saying? Not only on the exterior, but also on the interior. What is God saying concerning our eternal soul? What has he left us with? Has he just left us with eternal life and I'll see you when you get there? Or has he left us with a life that is in the Lord Jesus Christ with a purpose to honor and glorify him? And now the doors have been opened up that if you would follow him, some things have to take place in our lives that God brings into our lives. You can't deny yourself. I can't deny myself. You can't separate yourself. I can't separate myself. We can't sanctify ourselves. That is still a work of God. And that's what the Bible teaches. And by the way, the Bible teaches that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all involved in sanctifying and setting us apart. And so it would benefit us to seek the Lord in Him accomplishing that and presenting ourselves. That's all God's asked us to do. Present yourself a living sacrifice. Put yourself in the middle of the wheel of the potter's clay where He makes His vessels, and allow the Lord to make us as He's purposed us. Do you know that everybody in this room has been planned and given a purpose before the whole world was created? In eternity past, God has a purpose. Listen, before we were born, Jeremiah says, God knew him. Before he ever was conceived, Jeremiah said, the Lord knew me. Isn't that amazing? That's powerful. So nothing is just left willy-nilly and just let it happen as it may. God says, I've got a purpose for you. Now, here's the question. If you're here and you're saved, do you want that will of God to be fulfilled in your life? You can't do it for Him. He must do it for us. And that's the important part here. So let's consider these things, okay, as we look to a certain teaching and a specific objective. Listen, you can't just go by how you feel. And the reason for that, Jeremiah 17:9 says this, the heart is deceitful above a few things, many things, or above all things. Did you hear that? Not many things, not some things, all things. You can't trust your heart. Dangerous thing. Well, I know what I believe in my heart. Oh, listen, if it's not in the Word of God, throw it out. Is that offensive? I don't trust my heart. Listen, if I feel something in my heart and it's not in the Word of God, to me, it's thrown out. It's worthless. It'll take me down the wrong path. So listen to this. The heart is deceitful above all things. Not only that, and desperately what? Ooh. Huh. Deceitful and wicked. And then it says this. Who can know it? Who? You know what that means? Don't trust it. Don't trust it. That's kind of like Lucy and Charlie Brown. This time, he's going to kick that field goal, isn't he? But he keeps coming back. He's trusting the wrong character, isn't he? Well, look no further than your own heart. Because it'll pull the rug out from under us every time. Because it's not connected. Our heart, our feelings are not connected. It's not naturally connected to the Word of God. But the Holy Spirit can guide and renew our heart to pant after Him. So this is important. And then God's direction requires faith or trust, those words are interchangeable, in Him, that He is the only way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. Do you believe that? It's in the Bible. All right? Hold your place right here, and I want you to see something else. Because God wants to take us on a journey this morning if we're willing to follow Him. That's the whole key. Are we willing to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow You? Listen. I'm not saying this. God saved you and me to change us into His likeness. Is that true? That's the journey God wants to take you on today if you'll follow. If you have the resolve to say, I'm going to follow God and not lean unto my own understanding, because here's what we think. Ready? Well, yes, I know, but after all, I can't do that. Where are we looking? I've said it myself, so I'm telling on myself. I can't do it. There's a lot of things I know that I can't do, but God says, don't look to yourself. Look where? To Him. All right? Go over to the book of Proverbs just for a moment. Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm not going to spend too much time here, but I do want to read these verses because they open up our understanding to the truth. All right? So here it is. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 1, and just listen very carefully to God's direction to His children. All right, my son, Proverbs 3:1, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Have a heart for the commandments of God. And again, you have to be reminded of this. You cannot do it in your power. God's never asked us, listen to this truth, God has never asked us to do anything that he himself will not empower our lives to fulfill it. God has not asked us to do anything that he will not do for us. We have the misunderstanding if we think God has asked us to do something in our own strength. Does that even sound biblical? Yes, do it in your own. God telling you to do what he's asked you to do in your power, in your strength. Does that even ring true in the littlest bit? No. Why? Because God knows there's no way you and I can do it and it will never be fulfilled. If you're frustrated because you have failed the Lord and you love him, realize this, we're not looking to the right power source. That's the indicator. That's the little light that turns on that says you're going in the wrong way. And that's the Holy Spirit. If you're frustrated, listen, stop and say, God, what? I need you. Because listen, do we believe the word of God? And he says, I'm raising up a peculiar people, a holy people. And if that's not being fulfilled in our lives, the world's not going to see the light if we don't see it. The world is not going to see the salt and experience the salt if we don't have it. We have nothing to give. We have a testimony of eternal life, and that's it. And that to the world stinks. And that's not where God left us, just to say, well, I've got eternal life. Yeah, but I don't see it in your life. I don't see. And by the way, what we truly are is what, when nobody else is around and looking, what we think and what we're doing is what we really are. And if it's not what God has called us to, then that's where, when we're alone, we need to get alone with the Lord and say, God, this is not what you've given me. And I need you in a great way. So listen, let's read verse 1 again. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days. Listen, in the commandments of God, and remember what the Lord said, if you love me, you keep my commandments, right? But that's not in our power. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Question, is it the heart of our Heavenly Father to add length of days, long life, peace? Didn't Jesus say, I give you my peace, not the peace of the world? Is it God's will that you and I have his peace even when our world is flipped upside down? Okay, now here's the question. Don't answer this one. Do you have it? And if not, there's only one place you can go to get it. And you have to go and get it. And God will give it if you ask him for it. All right? So listen. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. That means mercy to everybody. It's God's mercy, not ours. If you're lacking God's mercy, then we're missing on the Lord and what he has for us. Again, remember, keep this thought in mind. Everything God is asking for us to have, he will supply. He is the supplier of everything that we need. We are not our own supplier. If we are, we will fall short. Listen, when God gave you and indwelt you with the Holy Spirit, it was for his honor and glory. That's the talent and the gift that you got on top of eternal life. Amen. To enable us to glorify him. It's high time that the church do business with the Lord. And by the way, where's the church? You look at the church every morning in the mirror. That's the part of the church that God has placed you to be responsible over. That part right there that you look at in the morning to do business with God and stop saying, well, that's just the way I am. God knows that, but it stinks. Amen? What we are, unless God blesses it, is not acceptable before the Lord. And God wants us to be serious about that. He's not asking for you and I to turn over a new leaf. He's asking for us to bury the leaves and go to him for what he wants to provide in our lives. So he says this, verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. And we don't have the power to do that, but God does. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And we praise God for that. Glory be where? Isn't that amazing? Not me. Now, how can I glorify the Lord if I'm doing it? I'm not going to glorify the Lord one bit. You know what I'm going to do? Man, did you see me? That's right, because it's not acceptable before the Lord. Listen to this. Look at verse 4 again. So shalt thou find favor. I like the favor of God. Amen? Amen. The first introduction to the favor of God was when I got saved. I thought, how holy and blessed is my God. How merciful and righteous. Amen. To show me my sin that I might run to him for forgiveness. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Listen to this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. With all thine heart. I've mentioned this before, and it's true, and it is important. You can pray anywhere. Amen? You can. You can pray in the car. And I would say that's better than listening to the radio and all the garbage that's on it. Amen? It would be better for us to spend... But listen, more importantly is for you and I to have an altar with God. An altar, not just because I happen to be in the car. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But we have to have a personal time. In the morning is the best time before we start our day to get somewhere alone with God. And you set the time. I'm not gonna tell you this is good. That let the Lord. But if there's no time, that's a problem. That's a problem. If we just talk to the Lord when we're driving around. In other words, what we may not realize is we're saying, God, I don't know that you're important enough for me to get up a little extra earlier to seek you for your guidance. And ask yourself. Do you need the Lord any more than what you have right now? In other words, am I reading my Bible too much? Lord, am I praying too long? Is God really working? Is God just blessing me? Oh, Lord, stop the blessings, Lord. I mean, no, that's not the case. Look at our society. Do you know that God has commissioned the church to be the light and the salt of the world? Isn't that amazing? And it's not functioning. It's not fulfilling God's will. Now, I'm not saying every single church, but my goodness, where is the light in America? Where is the light in Missouri? Where is the light in Colombia? And who is the light? The one you look at in the mirror. See, it's so easy for us to say, oh, well, that's your job, somebody else. That's the missionary. That's the preacher's job. Oh, no. No, the Great Commission was given to who? The church. That's everybody. So it's high time that God's people get serious with the Lord, because you're going to stand account for your life. God's going to say, okay, this is what I gave you. What have you done with it? Let me see the fruit in your life. Did you walk in the peace of God? Did you walk in the mercy and in the love of God? Or were you too full of yourself? Because Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you've got to do one thing first that we can't even do that we need him for. And that's the what? Deny ourselves. Listen, the key ingredient to a life that is hindered for God is a life that's not denying itself. In other words, God, not my will, but thine be done. He says, verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Listen, did you hear that? Be not wise in thine own eyes. I'm afraid too many of us are wise in our own eyes. You know what we're doing? We're using subjective reasoning. I'm okay. I'm born again. I got home in heaven. Yeah, that might be true. Peter had eternal life too, didn't he? But he forsook the Lord. The disciples thought they were following the Lord when they wanted to call fire down. And the Lord told them, listen, you know not what spirit you're of. Can that be the same today? The only way to walk with God is to humble ourselves before him and say, oh God, I need you. Oh God, I have overlooked my need for you. Look at verse 7 again. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Now, I want to show you something here that I think we just kind of glaze over. We're going to go back to the book of Titus, but I just want to take you just for a moment here to Matthew chapter 5. And the Lord is speaking to believers there. He says, verse 13, he says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Then he says this, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. I'm afraid it's hidden today. Look at our society. It is hidden today. Question, did the world turn the church upside down in the first century? And many other centuries as well. The Lord used the church to turn it upside down. Listen, he says this, verse 20, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes, listen, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. I didn't say it, Jesus did. Did you hear that? For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the... Jesus said that. Whose righteousness are we looking to? You know what that tells me? You might be saved yet so as by fire, but man, what a poor testimony. Is that how we want to walk into heaven? If that's how we're willing, oh, I got heaven, man, I tell you what, that'll be a disappointment like you've never had. For you, that'll be a disappointment if that's your attitude. It would be better to say, Lord, and keep trying until the day you saw Jesus than to just give up on God. And say, well, I had one friend that professed to be a Christian that surprised me. He got mad at me because I was going to church on Wednesday night. He said, well, fill up the bathtub and practice walking on water is what he told me. That hurt me. Not me personally, it hurt me that he had that kind of an attitude. And here's what he told me. Oh, and he did, he accomplished it. I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 30. I don't know where he's at today. I will tell him he pierced himself through with many sorrows. He ended up in divorce, and he ended up behind bars. Oh, he got out, and he's probably still wealthy. He called me up one time to give me something. I said, I don't want it, keep it. I don't know what he scared me after I found out he wound up in jail. And here it is, ready? I want my mansion and I want my gold here. I'll be satisfied with a cabin in heaven. Something doesn't ring right there. Something doesn't ring right there. And he had a life to back up that something wasn't right. Is that the kind of life we want? That says something's just not right. Is that the kind of life we want that the world says, hypocrite, liar, keep it? Is that the kind of life we want? Is that what we've settled for? Because God gave us everything we need. Amen. And the problem comes in our misunderstanding. See, because listen, one day we are going to look into the face of the one who died for you and me. Amen. And it's not just going to be for a year. It's going to be forever. I dare say God is saying, wake up. It's high time God's church wakes up. Amen. Listen, have you ever been let's go back to the book of Titus chapter 2. Have you ever been in a very difficult situation? Maybe a very difficult family situation where somebody was ill. You found time, didn't you, to pray? You find time when it's like that. Huh? When something happens, or your child, one of your children get real sick, you cry out to God. And because there's something important in your life. Amen. Do you know, I'd say just as important is the glory of God in your life. Maybe even, should it be not more important, the glory of God? And so God wants us to be serious about our walk with Him. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. We don't have too many verses here, but let's look at this specific grace. And that's unmerited favor. This is the grace of God that brings salvation. He says it's appeared to all mankind, but specifically to every believer. God is saying this specific grace of unmerited favor that brings salvation, not just eternal life, but the life of Christ here on this side. Look, notice verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, and many of you said amen, you're saved, hath appeared to you, to all men, specifically to you and me. And what does this specific revelation of God bring to you and me? In verse 12, it brings a specific doctrine or direction into our lives. Verse 12, teaching us, the redeemed. Notice this, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. That tells me you and I are accountable before the Lord to live godly and to deny worldly lust, and that we should live soberly and righteously in this present world. How are we going to do that? By rededicating our lives? Doesn't say that in the Bible. But by submitting ourselves before the Lord. And by asking God for His direction. God has not left us unto Himself. If so, He's not guaranteed of the results. But the way, if you read the Bible, you are guaranteed success if you seek God. Good success, the Bible says. Good success. Don't answer this question. Are you having good success in the eyes of God in your life? That's what's important. You might say, oh, Brother George, you know, I don't know that I like this message. I promise you will in heaven. If it will redirect your life, if it will point you to Jesus, because I'm telling you, we can't do this. We cannot fulfill this in our strength. And listen, that was never God's plan. But see, if we're not careful, we come to the Lord with a subjective idea. Well, this is how I feel about it. I know what I feel or believe. Baloney, if it's not what the Bible says. Is it not? It's not the truth. Listen, when we consider this, look at this specific objective. That's a certain teaching with a specific doctrine. Don't miss it. Listen, and if it's not working in your life, you need to bring it to the Lord. Listen, look at verse 12. This is the specific doctrine or direction teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's God's word. If that doesn't agree with your thinking, throw your thinking out and seek the Lord for His truth. Last thought, specific objective. This is the factual data, not influenced by personal biases, right, or beliefs. I got my beliefs. Throw them out the window if they don't agree with the Word of God. Verse 13, ready? Looking for that blessed hope. That's our redemption. That we're looking for seeing our Savior face to face. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what the believer ought to be focused in on. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from some iniquity. All iniquity. All iniquity. How serious are we taking that with the Lord? All iniquity. Not some. And purify unto Himself a peculiar people. Is that all the redeemed? Is that God's plan for all the saved? Amen. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You know when you're zealous for something. You know you've got that zeal. Yeah. There's a lot of people that have the wrong zeal. They have the zeal for things that are temporal and perishing and passing away, and have neglected the zeal that God will give them for Him. God will give us a taste for the supernatural. God will give us a taste for the eternal as we seek Him. Remember when you got saved? What a day. The Bible came alive. It did for me. But if we're not careful, the devil has gotten in there and distracted us and entangled us with all the affairs of this world. Got us all tangled up. Listen to verse 14. This is the work of God in the life of every believer. Listen. Who gave Himself for us. Listen. That He might redeem us from what? All iniquity. Who's doing the redeeming? Not us. who gave himself for us that he might redeem us, he might, from all iniquity, and purify unto himself. Who's doing the purifying? A peculiar people. Who's brought the zeal? God does. God doesn't want you to fabricate zeal for him. He doesn't want you to fabricate a purification for yourself. He's the purifier. He's the redeemer. Amen. He's the giver of all good gifts. Amen? Amen? And then last, don't forget the priority. Ready? Verse 15, these things speak and exhort. These things that he just spoke, and he's talking to Titus here, Paul, to the churches. These things speak and exhort. We are obeying God's command that was given back when Paul wrote this to Titus this morning. These things that we learned about today, right? These things, he says, speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Preach this right here. Not some new doctrine. Not some new idea. You know, I think God has given us quite a bit to study. Good things. Why are churches today saying, well, you know what we could do for the glory of God? Nothing. It's what God does for the church. Amen. Oh, well, let's just get off in this and let's just go over here and let's just go way out there. Maybe we can draw a crowd. Is that what the Lord said? Draw a crowd? Or did he say, I will build my church? Where's the church? We look at it in the morning in the mirror. How is God's work taking place in the church? That's a question only I can answer for me and you can answer for you. Now, do we see the work that God wants to do? And do we see the need for God's work? Where he wants to do it? It's so easy. It's so easy. Let's see. Let's look out here and there and there. And God says, you're looking in the wrong place. I want you to look one place. And that's, what are you doing and what is God doing in your life? Our part is to seek him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and all of our soul. And then he will work. Are we hearing that in churches today? These things speak and exhort. Oh, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And by the way, the rebuke is just simply saying this. I'm not an overlord. I'm just proclaiming the truth. And in fact, I take a chance of offending. I want you to know, if you know me, I don't want to offend a single one of you. But I'm sorry to say there's somebody more important than you and me. And I don't want to offend my Redeemer. And by the way, if I offend him, mark it down, I will have offended you. If I sidestep this doctrine, you will stand up before the Lord devastated. If we don't see what God is pointing the church to. So this morning, we looked at what the grace of God that brings salvation has brought where? To us. To you and me. Are we receiving that? Or are we just chalking it off as another message and we'll come back and maybe come back and look for the next one? We are spinning our wheels going nowhere. This is not just some little lesson here. This is a personal truth to you and me. I did say to you and me, I need it as much as you do. Because I'm going to stand before my God one day and give an account for my life and how I walked with the Lord and how I allowed him to be my blessing and my light and my salt, that I might share that before the world that I come into contact with. The same as before the world that you come into contact. So here it is. The invitation is the Lord's. It's an opportunity for you and me to say, God, I've missed you, or I need you. Lord, you have opened up my heart and mind to see things clearer than I have ever had before, or been reminded of things that maybe I've walked away from. that I might take my walk with you and my relationship to you seriously. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, Lord, thanking you for your mercy and your grace and your goodness and kindness, even to allow us to see these things and to look into these things. And I pray, Lord, to understand them. And then, Lord, to have you work them in our lives. Bless all of your people that are gathered here today. May you do a work in our hearts to draw us unto yourself that only you can do. Lord, I'm not trying to guilt anybody. It's worthless unless you bring the understanding that we need you in our own lives. Speak to us as only you can. Bless everyone here, and we'll be careful to give you the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.